Great. Welcome and good evening. It's December 8th, Monday, 7:13 p.m. Eastern. This is Tom Chase, kicking off the WPFW Finance Committee meeting. Again, thank you for coming and sorry for the delay in getting started. As I mentioned, our secretary is unavailable, so I will read through our mailing list as the role. And let me go ahead and start. We have Wanda.
Yes,
Thank
here.
you. And Eileen's not here. Sabu. Sabu? No. How about Tony? Tony
Yep, Tony
Leo.
is here.
Great. Miyuki?
Present.
Great. Julie?
Here.
Kamau?
I'm here.
Great. Minerva? And Irene?
I think it's Minerva who's put in the chat that she has a problem with audio. But I'm not sure that the initials look like it would be Minerva Sanders, but I don't know offhand, but
Okay.
oh, she dropped whoever that was, but okay.
Maybe she'll try to come back in and have better luck. Okay. great. So, about an hour ago, I sent out the budget update, and I will just briefly talk through that. Essentially, our expenses were consistent with budget, but our revenue was behind by a pretty good amount compared to last year. So again, as I've talked about, we tried to budget. We budgeted the overall budget a certain way that we've talked about, and then each month we looked at we sort of apportioned the overall increase. 3% for revenue, on top of what we did in 24. So we didn't have as big a November, as we did last year, by a significant margin, about $60,000. So we were looking to, do about 132,000 this month, and we ended up around 65,000. So, we did about 25,000 over budget last month. And hopefully we'll make up the difference here in December. So right now, we're about 37 behind, just basically on revenue. And we can talk a little more about that and what we're doing in December, I think, to help on that. But and then, just the last thing I would say on the budget, as I mentioned last time, management was working with Pepco to resolve a dispute we had with billing through the summer when we had the power outage. And we were able to get that settled on favorable terms to us, which basically means we about a little over a month's worth of power we had credited to us. So that's good, and that's settled, and we're caught up with, again, all of our bills, health insurance, payroll, central services fee, electricity, cable, everything. So that's the highlight of the report this month. Any questions?
Yes, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hey Tom, so I want to try to understand what this is saying here. So we got a budget column, budget for 2026. Then we have a column for projected 2026. Are you saying that we budgeted 1,587,617, and we are projecting to finish at 1,542.
For the revenue.
Revenue. Okay. And everything else down the column.
Yeah, that's right. And then there's a tab with the statement of activity that shows the month by month.
Okay.
And so as I said, you know, the revenue per month at that top line is really, you know, it's what we did in 24, plus 3%. And, we had a gangbuster last fall. And I'm not exactly sure. I didn't get a chance to talk through this with Miyuki. I think there was a lot of, there was maybe even relocation fundraising back in the fall, last year. So, you know, I feel pretty good. We're going to, close the gap in December. Just looking at the way things went last year even, but you know, it's a gap and we've got to stay focused. Management has a number of things going on, you know, to help with this. So that's where we are.
So the other thing on line 15 where it says gross profit.
Yes.
That's like, that's not the correct. That's not the correct, wording for that, is it? Because gross profit usually comes after the expenses are figured.
I don't know. Maybe Kamau could explain this, but that's the way the financials for all of the Pacifica and what would usually be in between there is your cost of goods sold, I think, where if you, I think your premiums are supposed to go up there. Or something, but I don't know. I just followed the template of the way that, if you look at, the financials in Pacifica, website going back, that's how that is set up. I can't explain it any other way.
Yeah. I would, you know, just to kind of support you on that, typically, gross profit is net of kind of the cost of goods sold that goes into a manufacturing situation. It's not really applicable to the radio station, to be honest, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think December is going to be key. I know a lot of effort's going to go into fundraising at the year end. And we had a Giving Tuesday in December. So, you know, with Thanksgiving being late in the month, but it was late in the month last year. I did check that. So that really isn't, shouldn't be a difference, in November. Okay.
Let me raise my hand. Sorry about that. I can't raise it.
Sorry.
Anyway, I have a question, couple questions, Tom. So, sure. Thanks as always for, you know, for the reporting. Is $1 million question again. How close are we to a couple of things on the national level? How close are we to, audited financials, and or, 990s? And then my follow up would just be, have we issued or has the national board issued any, financial statements recently? You know, the consolidated version.
No, I haven't seen any. And, I know, you know, and I haven't, didn't tell the committee. I don't think I knew it last time, but, I resigned from the National Finance Committee after the last meeting. I just felt that it was, personally, I wasn't able to be effective with that group. And so, but since we had our last meeting, there was one meeting, the one just after our last meeting that I started listen to and then I dropped off, but there was no national financials presented there. There has been a budget for the National Finance Office and, I didn't look at it. So that may have consolidated financials. Let me look at that. So they did send the budget, cause I'm still on the mailing list, last week for tomorrow night's meeting. So there probably is numbers in there, but I haven't looked at them. Julie can probably give you a better update as she may be now officially on the committee. And in terms of the audit, no news on that as far as I know.
All righty. Thanks, sir.
You bet.
Just chime in there to say, while I am now officially on the NFC for PFW as a director, since Dennis resigned, I'm not on the mailing list, so I don't have the stuff you have, Tom. If you wouldn't mind forwarding that email to me, I'll take a look at it.
You bet.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I think BAI's budget still isn't in. And so that would, I think, preclude, you know, a fine consolidated. But again, I'll send Kamau and you both the last thing I got on the national.
Great. Great. And that does correspond with what I know about budgets.
Cool. Tony, I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks. I want to go back to revenues. This time of the year, we usually have U Street Jam fundraiser. Does anybody know anything about that? If that is or is not going to happen this year? Because it usually raises about 10 grand or more sometimes.
I'm going to raise my hand on this. No, we're not. I'm sorry, Tom. I don't see to raise my hand on this because your screen is taking over.
Hold You're on. Good. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, Tony, we're not doing anything with U Street Jam. Mrs. Turner was looking into it and she just said things have changed a lot at Prince Hall. And so she's not, able to do that this year. And frankly, we have been just going one to thing after another and another. And we decided, that we would just go ahead and just do the end of year drive. And then we'll start doing more things again in the new year. Right now, Mrs. Turner and Robin are thinking about doing a Super Bowl Sunday viewing thing as a collective. And then we've got the winter drive, and then we're going to do some things, some different things for the 49th anniversary of WPFW. But we're not doing anything additional right now. Right. And currently the people have been very, supportive of WPFW. Baba Ize came up with the put five on, Cash App, just before Giving Tuesday. So that weekend did very well, raised over $1,000 and mostly $5 Cash App donations, which were significant because we hope that there were a lot of people doing a little bit, hopefully new people to join the family. And then Giving Tuesday itself raised about $13,000. I don't know how that compares to last year. And the money, in terms of donations and end of year contributions have been, coming in pretty consistently. We start our final drive for the year this upcoming Sunday. It's only for a week, but we're going to strive hard to raise about $95,000 or more.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kamau, I think you had a list of questions. Did you go through them all?
Yeah. We're good. Okay, so far, great. So good. Thank you.
All right. And I'll just mention this and drop a hint. I'm also working with Miyuki on underwriting. It's taken me a little longer to get it going, but I think when we get it going later this month, it'll be sort of built in a way that we'll be able to sustain it. We haven't forgot about that, and we expect that that'll be a significant contributor revenue once we can ramp up the processes and have confidence in them. Kamau, go ahead.
I did have another question, sir. On this Saturday, we have our town hall, and part of that town hall, we wanted to do a quick financial presentation. Do you want to, you and I hook up at some point to kind of lay out what that looks like? A kind of real simple format, something like, you know, a couple columns, prior year, you know, current year projection, budget, something like that, that just kind of lines up the different, high level, financial categories. And then maybe, a little, you know, some notes there at the bottom concerning, like you're saying, underwriting, maybe some other, caveats that would give folks some insight as to what we're going to be doing into the future. So looking to kind of hook up with you at some point, you know, before Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right.
Great. Yeah. Thanks. My schedule is pretty flexible. So let me know what works for you.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes, Miyuki.
I wanted to thank you, Tom. I forgot to mention the fact that you are starting the underwriting, and he's done a very complicated but comprehensive setup so that once we implement it, it's not going to increase a lot of man hours. So I want to thank you very much for Tom. Really, it's taking longer, but I think you're setting up a stronger system that will stay in place for a long time, and really appreciate that. And I forgot to mention that we're not doing major programs or anything. We have assembled a group of people who are working on the development committee, and we're trying to reconnect with listeners and, for example, contact them for expired or credit cards that don't work, in hopes that we get all those people active again and get some monies from that. So we have other things other than on air or the party things that we have done in the past to try to raise money coming up in the first quarter.
Any new business or anything anybody wants to raise? Tony, go ahead.
Tom, do you mind talking a little bit about the underwriting? Like who's going to be your prospective, underwriting targets and right. Just anything you feel like discussing?
Yeah, I mean, we want local, we want organizations that share our mission. We retain, you know, management retains the right to refuse anybody. You know, we're doing some of it kind of in an ad hoc way with venues, but we think, you know, why not, you know, florists or doctors or, you know, any other kinds of groups that typically underwrite and support public radio. And we, you know, we know we have a lot of friends. So even just to start with, making sure we're recognizing appropriately people who are giving us money now. We have nonprofits, so we're open to nonprofits, you know, businesses. But you know, definitely, I think not like, you know, absolutely definitely not, you know, military contractors, anybody that's not, doesn't endorse our mission, you know, it's mission focused. But beyond that, I think we're mostly trying to get the language for the website to market this. And again, make sure that we have the processes to, like every underwriting announcement has to be approved by Pacifica compliance officer. It has to be approved by program director, management. So there's a lot of steps in this logistically, but as a market, I think it's, you know, local organizations that are already our friends that share our mission and vision. Yep.
So this is something that Pacifica has looked at and agreed to do and
yes.
and developed a process?
No.
No.
I mean, there isn't a centralized process. There is centralized compliance. And we're working very closely with the National Compliance Officer because we're under a consent decree. you know, and I haven't been around historically, but my understanding is there's been a pivot, and maybe Julie or someone could comment on it, but maybe there was a sense we didn't want any underwriting in the past, and now it's like, yeah, we need the revenue, but it's up to you, you know, make it consistent with your local station's values and audience and community. So, you know, we're looking, I think KPFT right now has the most aggressive program, and I wouldn't say it's, I mean, it's modest in terms of, I think, financial performance, 35 to 50,000, which is what we're shooting for this year. And so we're looking to them as a model, as well as we got the media kit from WAMU. They, in fact, would like us to underwrite on their studio. So we know what they're charging. We've seen what their program looks like. And we've collected data programs around stations around the country.
Yeah, we've been trying to get this going for at least, I don't know, 10 years. And for some reason, it just never took off. So that'd be good to see it take off because I know there are a lot of supporters out there. Yeah. That are willing to do it. But it, you know, it has to be done right.
Yeah.
We don't want to get fined and things like that. But there AMU has a real good method. I've researched their method for doing it. And they, you know, if you can get some information from there and other places, it should happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's our goal. Exactly.
Good luck.
Thank you. Wanda?
Thank you. So thank you for kind of explaining the underwriting piece. I was wondering about that as well. And I do think that this community radio station probably has a lot of support out there that can be tapped. For financial support. So that sounds like a really excellent endeavor. I had a question that, I probably know the answer to, but I was looking at the bank fees and service charges, and I was just wondering if those were fixed, if there's any way to move some of that money over into the plus column instead of the minus column. I'm not sure how these fees are assessed, but I was just curious to try to understand.
Sure. Yep. So I can explain it as best I can. And it's just that. And then maybe Kamau can help a little bit, but the line that is under, let's see. The bank fees under administrative expenses, and those are around $680 a month. Well, and then I'm projecting, but something like that. Those are essentially the fees for our checking account, and it's primarily the lockbox related to the checking account. So I think that does fluctuate depending on how many pieces of mail that get processed through lockbox. Let me open the 2025 and just see how much that fluctuated. But so that's what that one is. And there's not really, as far as I know, any way. Yeah, so that was somewhere it fluctuated mostly around $500 to $600. Then the other under development expenses, the credit card discount fees, those are, it's a charge that we get hit with that I think is related to the charges, like credit, people who make donations with credit cards. We subsequently get the fee as a debit from our account. Right.
Oh.
So we get the full amount of what they paid, but then then we pay the fee through that credit card discount fee line. So you can see that fluctuates a fair amount. Well, again, you're looking at a projection, but let me look at last year's. That goes up and down depending on fund drives. So like the month after a fund drive, it's very high, but then the month after a month with no fund drive, it's very low. And it, there's a lag of about a month when we see that hit the, hit the account. Does that sound about right, Kamau?
Yeah, that, no, you're spot on. So discount, credit card discount fees is essentially, what the, credit card companies charge us in order to process their members' transactions. It's basically, you know, kind of a right to actually, you know, swipe a Visa or MasterCard. So that's going to come through, like Tom said, a little bit more when we're in fund drive. And then the bank fees are the standard bank fees that, you know, you're parking your money here. Here's what we charge you for that. And then of course the additional processing with the lockbox. The lockbox does also fluctuate depending on how many checks you get in. And, you know, they're essentially depositing that money for us ahead of time and then sending copies out that, reflect what they've received in the lockbox.
Oh. Yeah, so it's a lot of services that the radio station gets charged for.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, in terms of like the trying to keep our money working, and I'm not sure if you raised it at the board meeting last time, but the, you know, we have put, you know, money into a money market fund. And that's the interest line. And currently the balance in that's about 60,000 and that's been steady. We don't move money back and forth. Mainly we want to move it into the money market. So, and that interest, actually, I just saw it dropped this month. And that's why I had projected out just like $100 a month in interest, but we were making like 140 up until November, and then it dropped to like 115. But the balance didn't change, so it's got to be the interest rate has gone down. So, and I was sort of being conservative when I projected out the interest because I was expecting that they wouldn't stay so high as they were. So, so that's what's going on with those lines.
Okay.
Remember the Fed did cut rates, earlier this year. So that, that account's pegged to that, to the market.
I see. So those, fees and interest rates are kind of, inflexible, it seems, pretty much.
Yeah, I think the lockbox fees in terms of the credit card, the discount fees on the swipe, I don't understand enough about how that whole credit card ecosystem works. You know, but we have, there are different gateways and things where we pay fees for credit cards and, you know, whether it's Cash App or it's through just Visa or, you know.
Yeah.
And there's probably ways to optimize that arrangement, but I don't, it's not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it sounds kind of complicated.
It does,
actually.
Yeah.
But I do feel that it just seems to me that during the fund raising drives, it seems like people are encouraged to use their credit cards. And I was just, I mean, I guess the benefit, is more than the fees that are assessed for processing on credit cards. I imagine that it has to be. But there is a strong push, for people to use credit cards. So.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know, Miyuki, this, she still looks like she might have dropped off. I don't know. There was some, I heard something recently about potentially maybe we could accept ACH transfers
Oh, that would be excellent.
And that would be, yeah. I'll make a note to look into that, because that's one way to definitely reduce fees, but people still have flexibility. They could use their debit card, but they don't always think of that. But if you have ACH.
That would really be good, because you'd save a lot of money on fees, I think, that way.
Yeah. Yep.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, go ahead, Julie.
Oh, okay. No, I appreciate your analysis, Wanda. The thing is, the thing, when we used to do bill means and we would get checks, the percentage of the checks that we get isn't equivalent to the percentage of money that we get right away with credit cards. But right now, we maybe have about, I want to say about maybe 10% or certainly not much more that of people who you bill me and then having to mail the bills after, send the stamps out, and wait for people to send the money isn't as cost-effective as using the credit card and getting the money right away. Yes, there is a fee, and so it diminishes the donation by somewhat, but it's a huge change from the time when before we started using credit cards as much. I did hear the same talk, Tom, about the ACH, and that is a possibility, but I don't know any more about that. Other than what you heard that they're looking into it, but I don't know any more than that. But I know that the credit cards have been a real boon, Wanda, because there'd be so many times, you know, we'd have to do multiple mailings to remind people, you know, you promised $100 the first time, the second time, the third time. Now right. We just send out one or two and we usually get the money, and after one or two, we don't send it. We just wait till the next drive or something. We don't bother, you know, the manpower of stuffing the envelopes and sending, and yeah. We may not see money, but it is a lot. And just having the cash on hand that day makes a big difference for us. And that changed around 2010, 2011 when we started swinging more toward credit cards. And it just ensured we had more cash money on hand as opposed to having to wait.
Right.
And thank also, you. You're welcome. And also, sustaining the same thing. So to remind somebody to send a bill on a monthly basis is also costly, whereas just providing the credit card or the bank account number, it's significantly diminished.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Julie. I'll jump in here. I mean, I think one of the things apropos of this conversation, I raised my hand for an earlier topic. One of the things we should do, it's a percentage of the amount of the donation, like 3%. And, you know, so we should certainly try to encourage our larger donors to consider, you know, switching to these other modes like debit or ACH, because we're going to get the most bang for our buck by going after the people who are the largest donors. And they're probably, I'm guessing, in a better position to be able to do that. Whereas, you know, you're not going to get as much bang for your buck if you're going after, you know, a whole bunch of $25 donations, right? And I think those are probably the places where Miyuki's spot on, right? It is worth paying the fee because of the immediacy of getting the funds. And, you know, we don't have someone who's opening all those envelopes and, you know, we're not paying that person, right? So in the long run, it might not be so bad. The thing that had me raise my hand was the underwriting question that Tony asked. And in fact, the PNB did pass an underwriting policy a couple years ago. I'm sorry, I don't remember off the top of my head exactly what year. But really, it was kind of saying to all the stations, hey, we're putting these certain guardrails on. And, you know, part of the guardrails are you have to have a plan for how you're going to accept underwriting, you know, and that there were some things like some limits on people paying to have certain content put on the air. I mean, it's a little bit different thing if you're paying to put a, you know, public safety PSA on the air. I think WBAI has leveraged that. The city of New York pays them to put a couple of, you know, like pedestrian safety kinds of things on the air. But Pacifica did pass that policy, which kind of opened the doorway to stations being able to do it. I think there were stations that were doing limited underwriting in advance of that policy, but then it became the policy of Pacifica that stations are allowed to do underwriting. Again, as Tom noted, as long as it really does match our mission, right? So all the things Tom said were consistent with the policy that the PNB passed a couple years ago. But really, it's up to the stations to do that because, again, you know, it matters in terms of, you know, the community you're serving. So, and I always envisioned that we've got, you know, some local restaurants that are probably, you know, consistent with our mission, and in neighborhoods, we want to make sure we're serving, you know, with the other nonprofits, who, the same idea, consistent with our mission, and in, you know, in neighborhoods and communities, we definitely want to serve, and who, from whom our listeners come. And so I think those are the kinds of folks that we're going to, you know, it's not going to be hard for them to get underwriting on the air, you know, whereas there probably are some other folks that it would be, you know, a heavy lift for us. So just wanted to share that.
Great. Thank you. Okay. All right. Well, if there's no further discussion, I will take a motion to adjourn.
We move to adjourn.
Great. Hearing no opposition, we're adjourned, and I will send you this report, Kamau, for the LSB meeting.
That sounds great. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.